Father, we truly do thank you for your presence that's here. God, I thank you for your anointing that's here in this building. I thank you for your angelic host that is moving to and fro, ministering to each one of us, God, the needs that we have, the works that you desire to do through each one of us for your kingdom purposes. Thank you, God, that we are all covered in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. God, I ask that you would soften each one of our hearts, that we would be open and pliable in your hands, that you can do a deep works in each one of us to bring about the fruition of your promises and the desires of your heart through each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Barbara had shared with me before service that God spoke to her and told her that what his anointing has been doing through these services is unearthing and revealing anything that's not of him in our hearts, bringing that up to the surface, and that it's up to us what we do with it at that point. And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. And what this means is, in our day-to-day lives, we will experience things that just come up out of us. And that's what God is bringing to our attention. And he wants us to bring that to him, work with him to get the root of that out so that we can be a clean, pure vessel that God can work through to do his kingdom works. Thank you, Jesus. I would like to read the about the knowledge and the belief, Nancy. Thank you. God impressed upon my heart to read something that explains the difference between knowing something and believing something, because there is a big difference. And one of the problems in the body of Christ is that we think we know things, but we don't really believe it. And this is limiting how God can work through us. And it's limiting how God desires to further his kingdom. We need to really, truly believe what God is telling us in order to walk in the fullness of everything that he has for us. And God gave me a vision the other day during the miracle services. And during the praise and worship, I saw a mountain. It was a beautiful mountain. And I didn't know what it meant until God was speaking through Pastor Barbara and explaining that some people were having different types of visions and he was explaining them. Well, when it came to God saying, some of you are seeing the mountain, that meant Mount Zion. And what it meant was that God wanted anyone who saw that to come before him. He wanted to minister one-on-one with you. And I thought that was really powerful. That's an honor. And I don't think we understand really the fullness of what God is trying to do with us. God wants to pour himself into us, but we're not fully ready to receive the fullness of God because there's still things inside of us that we're holding on to. And that's why God's trying to bring this up. God just wants to be with us. He wants to work with us. With love. But the problem is, a lot of times we can't receive love. Thank you. Because there's areas of our lives that are still bound up. There's no greater miracle than just having the presence of God. There are so many miracles taking place, and we're not seeing it the way that God would desire for us to see it. You just thinking differently, changing a bad habit, is a miracle. Just the fact that God puts his anointing in this building is a miracle. There's a depth, a real depth to the kingdom that we aren't touching. And God wants us to touch that depth in his kingdom. When I saw that vision, it changed me. It did something to me. That is a miracle. You all have been touched and changed by the things that God has shown you. That's your miracle. I saw a couple services ago a throne. It was during praise and worship. And I was taken up to these stairs leading to a throne. And I knew it was God sitting on the throne. It was so bright, you couldn't even look at. Then I saw another light on his right side. I knew that was Jesus. And the Holy Spirit was standing next to me. And all I could do was just lay down flat on my face and just cry. That's all I could do. Because his love was so overpowering. When you go into the third heavens, into that place, and you experience the presence of God, he didn't say a word. He didn't talk. He didn't prophesy. There was no revelation. It was just his presence was more than enough. And it does something to us. It goes deeper than what we know. It goes into our hearts. And we believe. And you know the enemy's going to fight. He's going to try to take it from you. As soon as something like that happens, and we can't let him do that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. I thank you. We have to discern and understand the difference between what we know, what we've been taught, and what we truly believe. The battle takes place in the mind, and it really boils down to truth and lies. Jesus said the devil is a liar, and he is the father of lies, and that's the only tool he's got, is his lies and his deception. In John 8:44, it says, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. the idea of evil thoughts and the truth of God's word is referred to as strongholds. We've all heard the word strongholds before. The mind and the houses of thought patterns we build develop into strongholds, and what fills them can either be truth or lies. The thoughts that are running through your mind every day, those are the strongholds. Your thought patterns, your belief system, what you meditate on, these are your strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have the power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The battlefield is in the mind. We're using the word of God, the spiritual weapons God gave us to attack the strongholds and the thoughts in our mind. The enemy wants to build strongholds of lies in our mind, and Jesus wants to build strongholds of truth. The problem in the Christian community is that many people don't know what they really believe. That is because they equate what they know with what they believe, and the two are not the same. We can often know something, and because we know it, we convince ourselves that we believe it. For instance, you can know Jesus loves you because you've read John 3:16 many times, but do you really believe it? You may convince yourself you believe it simply because you know it. But when there is a contradiction between your behavior and what you say you believe, it illustrates the fact that there's an underlying problem. You will experience people say, I believe this, but then their behavior, something they say or do, contradicts what they said they believe. They act contrary to what they say they believe. That's highlighting an underlying issue. In other words, what we really believe often gets covered up with knowledge. Part of the process is trying to dig through the knowledge and get down to the lie that is really motivating the destructive behavior. What is the destructive behavior? It could be anything the enemy is trying to throw into your mind. You're not going to be able to carry the glory. You're not going to be able to make it. This is too tough for you. You might as well give up. The enemy goes on and on. He whispers lies, trying to fill that stronghold in your mind with these lies to get you out of the will of God. The difficulties in getting people to understand how to have real life transformation with the mind is because of this fact that we cover up the lies of the enemy with what we believe in the knowledge that we have acquired in church. We sometimes see people frustrated with God because the scriptures aren't working in their lives. This can be because they don't truly believe the scriptures, but instead they only know and memorize the verses. This is how it is. They quote, some people just quote scripture. They don't believe any of it. They memorized it, but it's not coming from their heart. And God's looking at the heart. Because if they believed the truth of the word, their behavior would change. It would change. All behavior is based not upon knowledge, but upon belief. You don't act out of what you know, per se, as much as what you believe. You're firm in your convictions. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We don't know what's in our heart. The Bible also tells us that the heart is full of deadly poison. It's a wellspring of life's consequences. We don't know what's in there. That's why David always went to God and said, show me my heart, Lord. He knew that he couldn't see what was in there, and he needed God to show him what was in his heart. We need God to show us what's in our heart, because we don't know. And there could be something in there that shouldn't be there. And that's exactly what God is doing in these services. It is not possible to live contrary to what you believe in your heart. It is possible to live contrary to what you think you believe, what you say you believe, or even what you have convinced yourself that you believe. The key is exploring the heart and mind with God and finding the root levels of the lies that have been covered up with knowledge, and discovering what we truly believe and lining these deep parts of ourselves up to the Word of God. In other words, sometimes you get so much knowledge in church that it covers up underlying issues. And you may feel good because you've learned something and you know something and you become comfortable with that knowledge. But that comfort of having wisdom or knowledge is covering up a deeper issue. And sometimes we lose sight of what we really actually believe. There are people who believe that they deserve to be attacked by the enemy. They feel unworthy. And as long as they continue to believe that they deserve, or that that's their lot in life is to suffer, then they will keep suffering. And it's covered up with the knowledge of, well, you have to bear your cross for Christ. You know, you have to suffer for his namesake. Those are true statements. But it's being blurred, and the enemy's using that to torment them. As an example, God doesn't want us to live out of what we know. He wants us to live out of what we believe. And God wants us to ask ourselves, what do I believe? What do I really believe? God's glory is here. His presence is here. His anointing is here. All of heaven is here. What more can God do? What more can he do for us? God doesn't owe us anything. We owe him everything. I'll use myself as an example. It took me a very long time to finally click that God has a plan and a purpose for my life, and I would do well to fulfill that purpose. Not because I'm being told to do it, but because I love God. It took me a long time to get to that place that I do it because I love God. Not because I better do it. Not because I feel like I have to do it. That's a miracle. And you all can use your own selves, things you've gone through in your lives, a clicker moment that God has performed a miracle in your life that you realized one day, this is what God truly means when he says, this is what God desires when he speaks over me. This is what God meant when he was wooing me, setting me free, cleaning me up. It was all for this purpose. And then you should have a joy and a gladness in your heart to serve God out of the thankfulness and gratefulness for what he's done for you. I am very appreciative and grateful that God spoke through Pastor Barbara the other day and taught us how to carry the glory, because we needed that teaching. That was very important. Because with the weightiness of his glory, his presence, comes a wisdom, a discernment of how to operate in his spirit. We have to be well-rounded and balanced. We still live in the world, and we still interact and function with different people. We're ambassadors. We're representing Jesus with what we say and what we do and how we carry ourselves. The people out there may not have immediate access and knowledge to the third heavens. Maybe they don't even know the word of God. They don't have any reference except what they see standing in front of them. And that is why it is so important to carry ourselves and conduct ourselves in the holiness of God's character, because that may be their only reference to who Jesus is. And this is what God wants to do with each of us. To be able to live our daily lives and fulfill the assignments that he has given us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. If you stop and think about it, man, God said the portals of heaven are open in this place. God has a vision for this church. And that should be the forefront on everybody's mind. That should be the number one agenda, is the vision that God has given this church. Because we're nothing without it. And God's trying to raise us up and teach us how to be like his son. Every one of us was walking out there lost at one point. And God sent somebody our way to bring us in. So why can't we do that for someone else? Why can't we do that the way that God wants it done? Because you have people groups that think, I'll serve God, but they do it their way. And that's not okay. And God wants us to do the things his way, because he sees everything from beginning to the end. And he knows all the in between. And he knows exactly what's going to work and what's not going to work. And before we do anything, we should be asking God. And not just that, we should be submissive to the leadership that God has placed over us. Because if you don't do that, the enemy has an inroad to your life, and he can destroy your ministry before it even starts, if it hasn't started yet. And God doesn't want to see that happen. There's too many souls. We don't understand the value of the soul. It blows my mind every time. Every time I think about it, what God would do for one soul. you will eventually reach a place where you tell God whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Because you know, if that was you, if it was us, we would want somebody to do that for us. We have to readjust our focus on the end result that God is waiting for. The end result that He's already created and it's already finished. It's sitting up in heavenly places, waiting for everybody to do their part so that that finished result can be pulled down into this earthly realm and manifest itself. Everything that's going to happen is already done in the heavenly places. When you go to the third heavens, it should be a total separation from whatever's going on down here. This is what I experienced in that vision. Yes, we have concerns. We have cares. We have I don't want to say worries, but we have responsibilities and different things going on in our lives that are important. But it all goes into God's hands and you just know that it's being taken care of. And when you're in the third heavens in God's tangible presence, you see things as He sees things. And it's like everything's already done. You may not see, or maybe you will, if He shows you, you could see exactly how He's worked out the whole situation. Even if you don't. You have trust. You trust that God is who He says He is, that He has all your problems worked out in life. Everything's already done. And God is like inviting you, like, look, I've taken care of you. I just want to be with you. That's love. If we can yield to God and open our hearts up to Him and say, God, whatever's going on inside of me, if I have bad habits, if there's things I do that I can't seem to stop doing it, if you give these things to God, and by giving it to Him, I mean pour your heart out and let your emotions out and tell God how you feel. He'll take it. He'll take that thing from you so that you can experience the fullness of God. There's too many mindsets in the body that aren't correct. And they're assuming that God's taken from them. Take, take, take. That's not what he's about. God doesn't do it like that. God is freeing you from things. Why? What's the purpose? So that you two can be more intimately, closely entwined one with another. There won't be anything separating us from God, and that's what it's all about. If we can't love God or even receive His love for us, how are we supposed to love anyone or do anything for God? We can't. We can try. We might make it a little bit, but it's not going to be the genuine anointing and agape love of God. It's just not going to be there. And this is why God needs us to come before Him and open our hearts to Him and allow Him to take the things that He's causing to pop up and to manifest within us. That's why it's so important that if you're in your daily life and something just pops up, that you immediately say, okay, God, I recognize that as you bringing something to the surface, and you're telling me that this needs to be dealt with, and now we have to deal with it. Because you know what? The devil will wait until you're in front of that big old stadium to let that thing pop right up in front of everybody at the worst possible time. And it's going to give God a black eye. And it's going to cause shame. And we can't afford that. We can't do that to God. Not after all he's done for us. Every service, God's constantly telling us, this is what's going on in this hour, in this season. Every single service here, that's a miracle. We don't understand how blessed we are because we're taking it for granted. Each one of us has a cross to bear for Jesus' name's sake. There's a calling on our lives, and that's a cross that we carry. What happens a lot of times is we carry our cross around with us. We put it down on the ground, and we start crucifying other people on our cross. And that should never be. And we do that with disunity, strife, bickering, whatever it may be. And the problem with doing that, accusing, pointing the finger, or judging your neighbor, is that eventually you crucify so many people on your cross. There's so many holes in it that by the time it's your turn to get up there to crucify your flesh, you can't. The integrity of that cross has been lost because of all the holes that have been hammered into it, crucifying other people. And it will no longer support the weight of your own sin when you go to repent. Then what? Can't make it. Because the line's been drawn in the sand. And God's been saying, if you don't get in now, you're not going to be able to get in. He said that a couple years ago. That scared me when God said that. I'm not going to lie. That scared me. Because you can cross a line where you can't come back. And I'm not saying that to scare anybody. There's a healthy fear of God that needs to be established in the house of God. And God is doing that. It is our reasonable service to give ourselves over to God, to go through whatever he wants us to go through for the purpose that he has established. It's our reasonable service to do that. There are too many people, and God's been saying there's souls falling into the abyss every day. I can't hardly stand to even think about that sometimes because it's so painful. The people that don't even have a chance, they're just falling through the cracks. And it's because some of the church is not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And really, what they really need to be doing is getting closer to God. Having a real relationship with him, not the religion stuff, but having a real spirit-filled relationship with the Father. And all of us in there have that spiritual, deep, intimate relationship with the Father. That's why, in part, that he has given his glory here to each of us. Because we're supposed to be close to him. We're extensions of him. God has told us all what we're supposed to be doing. And now he's empowered us and equipped us to go do it. And he's taught us how to carry his glory now. What else can he do? The people out there that God's sending in, he's sending them into the Lighthouse Church, you know, for this area, for the vision of this church. He's not sending them to us personally. He's sending them to the church. And we're supposed to be working in this church under Pastor Barbara to fulfill what God has promised to her. That's the only way this is going to work. We have to separate what we know, what we've learned, and we have to ask God, what do I really believe, God? Do I really believe in your miracle working power? Do I really believe that I have the new wine inside of me? Because if you have any doubt, it's not going to work. If you can't believe that God has done this for us, it's not going to work. I know you guys understand what I'm talking about when I say sometimes you've got to fight hard, real hard, when the enemy is buffeting you and trying to attack you and trying to kill you. You have to fight. There's times I'm certain that you guys and I myself have had to stand on the words that God has given us and listen to that word over and over and over again to get it into your spirit. So why? So you believe it. There's times I've had to fight, and I'll use a metaphor here. There's times I've had to fight the enemy so hard that it's like, don't tell me the sky's blue. If God said the sky's pink, then it's pink. I don't care what anyone says, that sky's pink. And I'll take that right down to the grave. You have to have that level of firmness and conviction that this is what God said. And this is what's going to happen. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what it feels like. And you just have to get to that place. I've been fought since these miracle services started happening. You all have been fought too. We're all in the same boat together, being fought. And the enemy is hoping to try to take anybody out who just bends or caves under that pressure. And this is why we need to be talking to each other, ministering to each other, and helping and encouraging each other. Because what's going on here? It's like the lights are off and, you know, there's a group of people here and there and it's all quiet and everyone's going through the same battle, but nobody's working together. We're all in the same boat. God is the wind that's going through the sail, moving the boat, and we're just the passengers on board. God's taking us to the destination. There's an importance on the spirit of unity, and it's really simple. And God's been saying it. They're just, if we all work together like the body is supposed to. But my body, all the different parts work together. They have different functions and purposes, but they all work together. And thank God they do, because it lets me breathe. Well, the body of Christ should be the same way. And it will be the same way. Because this is the hour that God said this, it's going to happen. So it is going to happen. There is no greater fulfillment than watching people's lives getting changed, people getting saved. Watching their lives change is good, but watching somebody get saved and staying saved is like the greatest thing in heaven. And we're going to partake of that. That should stir up like a praise and a worship towards God. You should be wanting to praise and worship God so much for the fact that he even considers using any of us to fulfill these things that he's asking us to do. We were all born for such a time as this. God wants to know, are you going to embrace the cross that you have to carry to fulfill your destiny? And just think about that. Are you going to go forward and win the lost? No matter what the enemy brings your way. Does your heart long for the people as mine does? What will you give to see another saved? Will you give your all? I gave you all of myself. Right now, in your seat, God wants to reveal to you and give you a vision to see of what your purpose is in this end time hour, how he is going to use your vessel to go forth into this harvest field. How he is going to use the gifts, the talents, and the abilities that he has created within you to minister to and influence the people in your sphere of influence. And he is going to bring back to your remembrance the words that he has spoken over you about how he is going to use you. He's going to remind you about the gifts that he has blessed you with to use for his kingdom. And all you have to do is say, "Yes, Lord, but mean it." It is a commitment. And it doesn't matter what comes down the road, because you have to trust God that he is able and faithful to complete what he starts. And God wants to transition those who have fear in their hearts to faith. Because fear and faith have one thing in common. They both believe in something that has not happened yet. And with the same energies that we have used to fearfully anticipate something, God wants to turn that around, to have a true God-given faith, to believe in the expectancy of his miracles with true, genuine faith.